Well, good morning, everybody. At this time, the kids can be dismissed, those second grade and younger. My name's Kirk, and for those of you that haven't been around the last few weeks, this is week three of a series we're doing called Advent Conspiracy. And it's been a very challenging experience for me, a very challenging season, to think about what does it look like for us to do Christmas differently. And I think that's kind of the ultimate goal that we're really trying to seek with this, is how do we enter the story? How do we do Christmas differently? Differently maybe than in past years, and certainly different than our culture that sees Christmas often as nothing more than a big chaotic headache with lots of Visa, MasterCard bills to come as we start the new year in January. The last couple weeks we've been talking, and week one we said, worship more. What does it mean for us, instead of just worshiping ourselves and buying a bunch of stuff, what would it look like if we really began to worship God? Really began to think about the real reason for the season. And even this morning, Ben, I so appreciate the way that you've just led us into the presence of God. Oh, come, let us adore Him. I love the word adore. It's a word that we don't hear a lot in our culture, unless it's like some really hot celebrity, oh, I just adore them or something. But it's really a word that is so appropriate for a king, to adore and to worship a king. And then last Sunday, I gave everyone the freedom to be a rebel. And I said that for centuries, Christians have been some of the most radical, rebellious people. What would it look like if we were to rebel this year and to spend less, and not spend less merely to stint the economy and keep it from growing, but instead, what if we took our resources and set aside money so, like we just saw in the video, we can use that money and we can be generous and we can give to a couple different projects. And this year we've identified two. One is the Water Project and the other is Hope Clinic. And there's information both at the back table and then by the entrance for those of you that weren't here this past Sunday. These are two incredible organizations, very, very low overhead. Almost every penny of your donation will go either to helping provide water in places like Ethiopia or providing meals and clothes and medical care and dental care for people right in our local community that are desperately in need of it. And as a family, we've decided that we were going to support both organizations, and we've made a gift. We wanted to get some skin in the game and really do Christmas differently this year by giving a small investment into both the Water Project and Hope Clinic. And I really urge you guys to do the same this year. I say it's better to give than to receive. And there's so many people whose lives literally could change just by us, just a small gift. In fact, in this room, if everyone gave a dollar, I mean, think about what that would be. That would be about $100. And if everyone gave $10, well, some of you are good at math. And this is a great time for me to also introduce or reintroduce the subject of the radical experiment. And in your, when you came in this morning, you should receive the card. And our theme for this year is radical. And I want to give you a chance. I know some of you are going to be gone next Sunday. We will be here next Sunday, by the way. Same time, same channel. 10:30 next Sunday for a special Christmas celebration. Some have asked, are we doing Christmas Eve this year? I haven't heard anything. Well, yeah, Christmas Eve happens every year, but we're not going to do anything here. Instead, we've been invited to our very good friends, Covenant Community Church, just down the street on Jackson Road. At 5 p.m., they're going to have a special Christmas Eve service, and they've invited us to join there. So go there for Christmas Eve, and then come here on Christmas Day, those of you that are around. But beginning January 1st, we're starting the Radical Experiment. And the ultimate goal of the Radical Experiment is to know God and fall deeper in love with Jesus. That's it. It's to know God. And we said that there's four things that would really help us, not only individually, but as a community, to really get to know God and develop a deeper relationship with our Savior and King. One is to pray for the entire world. And there's a website there. And we're going to give you all sorts of resources, both paper and electronic, beginning January 1st, where you can pray for a different country each day and learn about the country. Could take you 5 seconds or 15 minutes, depending on how much time you want to put into this. And then to read through the entire Bible. And we're going to read through it. We're going to read the same verses, the same chapters together as a family, a church family. We're going to go chronologically, so not just Genesis through Revelation, which often takes some really interesting detours, but we're going to take a chronological approach, which I've never done before. I'm really excited about that. And then sacrifice your money, your funds for a specific purpose. Maybe it's for the water project. Maybe it's to Hope Clinic. Maybe it's to sponsor a child with Compassion International. But do something radical with your resources. And then fourthly, to give your time in another context. That may be to go overseas. Maybe go help drill a well in Ethiopia. Maybe to go serve in downtown Detroit and work among the homeless and the poor. Do something out of your context to give. And the suggestion is 2% of next year, which is a week. And then the lastly, to do it in a community, which for most of you is going to be the people in this room. That we do this together. This isn't just a personal commitment, though it is that. But we want to help you honor that commitment and do it together in community. So if you would, I would challenge you to fill out this card. And there's a perf at the bottom, and you can just write your name down and tear it off and drop it in the basket on your way out today and say, yeah, I'm going to commit to doing these things in the new year. And then you can use this as a bookmark or put it on your refrigerator or on your dashboard of your car or wherever you might see it. For some of you, maybe just glue it to your iPad, and then you'll get to see it a lot, I'm sure. So the radical experiment, it all ties in to the spirit of giving and the spirit of generosity and the spirit of being radical and different. This week's word is give. Kind of fits, doesn't it? Give. Now you may be thinking, wait, you just told us to give to the Water Project and to Hope Clinic. But beyond that, I want to encourage you this year to give presence. For some of us, it's difficult to give presence, our presence, because we live in a world that's so filled with distractions and chaos, isn't it? We have so many screens and so many noises screaming out for our attention. This past week, one of my kids, they said, Dad, we're really having a hard time getting you something for Christmas this year. Like, what do you want? Give us some ideas. And I said, what I really want is I just want your presence. I want to be together as a family. I want more with my family than from my family. I know all you teenagers are like, boring. Give me something with a battery. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But in all seriousness, I've gotten to a point in my life where I just want to be. I want to be present. I want to be fully present with my family, and I want my family to be fully present with me. Now, I know some of you, this is a very special Christmas that you're about to celebrate. For some of you, this is a Christmas where you're newlyweds for the very first time and are going to spend Christmas together. And we've got a few of those around here, including Lewis and Terry. For some of you, maybe this is the first Christmas with a baby, or the first Christmas in a new home, or the first Christmas in a different home. And there's a whole new meaning to this idea of presence this Christmas. And likewise, for many of you, there's going to be an absence of presence because there's going to be someone not at the kitchen table this Christmas. Many of us have experienced loss this past year. And so presence actually means even more. You never know what the following Christmas is going to be like. So this Christmas, give presence. Give your presence. I was recently being mentored a couple weeks ago by Jeff Brown, our district superintendent with the Christian Missionary Alliance. Many of you know Jeff. And in our conversation, as we were just talking, I talked about how I'm just head over heels in love with my wife. I mean, I truly am. I love to be with her. I love to go out to dinner with her. I love to travel with her. I love to just sit on the couch and read books, separate books, just to be in her presence. Is something that, as I get older, I just really enjoy. Like, we don't have to be doing anything. Just being with her is really, really special to me. And Jeff asked me about my intimacy with God. He's like, you know, how are you and God doing? And I said, well, to be honest, I said, Jeff, I'm not satisfied. Like, I want more out of my relationship with God. Yes, I read the Bible every day, and I pray, and, you know, I throw up these prayers, and I listen, and I try to do all this stuff, but like I just want more from God. I want to hear His voice. I want to just give Him a hug or something. And Jeff challenged me very appropriately so. And he said, Kirk, Is just being with God enough for you? You just told me that just being with your wife is enough, but is it enough just to be with God? What if He doesn't say anything to you? What if you just know that He's there and you acknowledge His presence and you're just still and know that He is God? Jeff reminded me of the quote from pastor and author John Piper, who said, "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him." This is Piper's definition of Christian hedonism. Yes, I said that. Christian hedonism. You're like, what? What's that all about? He continues, "We all make a God out of what we take the most pleasure in. Christian hedonists want to make God their God by seeking after the greatest pleasure, pleasure in Him." By Christian hedonism, we do not mean that our happiness is the highest good. We mean that pursuing the highest good will always result in our greatest happiness in the end. We should pursue this happiness and pursue it with all our might. The desire to be happy is a proper motive for every good deed. And if you abandon the pursuit of your own joy, you cannot love man or please God. We've all been told that it's better to give than to receive. This is true not only with the presents that we buy, but also when we give our presents to others. Perhaps the most famous story about this in the Bible is the story of Jesus hanging out with a couple sisters. Many of you know the story in Luke 10. It says, as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, "Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me!" Have any of you ever felt this way? She's just lounging there by the fireplace, chatting, like, "Tell her to help me out here, I'm working hard in the kitchen." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Am I the only one that doesn't like this passage? I mean, if I were to do a Thomas Jefferson thing and cut out all the passages that I didn't like, and yes, Thomas Jefferson did that. Look it up. It was a very small Bible that he was left with because he cut out all the miracles and stuff. Don't ask me why. But if we were to cut, I mean, I read this and I just feel so much conviction because I like to be doing things. I like to be busy. I like to be productive. And yet here in this story, Jesus is saying, look, chill out. Just be still and know that I am God. Be with me. What I want more than anything else from you is not your money and not all your fancy tricks and ringing bells for the Salvation Army and going to church and memorizing Scripture. Those are all good things. But what I really want is you. I want your heart. I think what Jesus wants this Christmas from you and from me is our presence, our heart. Jesus modeled the value of presence. John 1:14 says that the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I love Eugene Peterson's translation and the Message of this. He says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son. Generous inside and out, true from start to finish." That's Jesus. That's what He did. That's who He's all about. He could have just called out from heaven and spoke everything into existence, which He did the first time. But the second time, He decided He wanted to get a little skin in the game. He wanted to come and be with us. This week I was reading through the book of Hebrews and I was really struck by these verses. It says, "By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." Now, do you know the story? Do you know the background of this whole thing? See, in the Jewish temple, there was this special area called the Holy of Holies. And there was a thick curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from everywhere else. And that special area, that back area, it was a special place where the presence of God dwelled. And it was so precious that only once a year could anyone go even back there. And it was the high priest. And the high priest would go once a year to go and make atonement for the sins of the people. And the presence of God was so powerful that if the sins of the people were so great, God would just strike the priest dead. So what would happen is the priest, they would like put a chain or a rope around the priest's leg. So when he went back there, in the event that he got struck dead, instead of having a dead body back there for a year, they would just yank him out. Because, of course, anyone else that would go back there would experience the same punishment. What happened the moment that Jesus died on the cross, that huge curtain was ripped from top to bottom. A lot of things happened that day when Jesus died. But one of the most important ones is the barrier between us and God was literally ripped in half. And God said, "My presence is accessible to all of you. Because of what Jesus did, you can know me. Not just about me. Not just play with me and little figures in the crash or whatever. But you can know me, the creator of the universe." Friends, this is great, great news. It's such exciting news. In fact, when I got to this point, I was working on this message this week. And I got to this point and I thought about God, Emmanuel, God with us. And it just so happened that at the very moment when I was writing this part of my message, this is what I heard behind me. Listening to a bunch of Christmas music in the background, and it was as if God was just speaking to me, saying, "You want a relationship with me? I'm here. I'm here. God with us." Now, some of you are saying, "Now, wait a second. He left about 2,000 years ago, and he took off, and supposedly he's with us, but not really. We just read about him. But he said, I'm going to come back. But even before I come back, I'm going to give you my presence in the form of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit and presence of God will dwell in you. And rather than be restricted to one human body, one piece of flesh that walks around the earth, my power, my presence is going to be manifest throughout all the planet. All over the world, the Holy Spirit will come and fill those people that humbly seek after me." We can sing hallelujah and we can praise the Lord and we can worship Him because of Emmanuel, because God is with us. And friends, It's not just that I want you to give your presence. It's merely a response because God has given us His presence. And I don't think there's anything more exciting, anything more great about this Christmas season than to think that God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Matthew echoes the writings of Isaiah hundreds and hundreds of years later. The virgin will be with child, give birth to a son, they will call Emmanuel, which means God with us. God's all about relationships. That's who He is. That's what He does. He does relationships. He wants to know you. He wants to know me. He wants your presence. He offers you His presence. And as the band comes up, we're going to sing a couple of songs yet today. This is actually an old, old song. It's old Negro spiritual. And the words simply say, "Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus." And I wonder this Christmas, what do you really want? What do you really want for Christmas? Do you want to receive an iPad? Do you want to receive a cool new toy? Do you want to receive some special piece of clothing or a kitchen appliance? Or is your greatest desire for Jesus?